From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. No compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Here cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Every week I bring you no compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. You'll hear stories today about folks who are killing the planet and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses. So please, go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information I'm about to give you, because this is not Couch Potato Radio. It's Activist Radio, and I urge you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod, or a tree sit, or locked down on the road blockade. Of course, Earth First Radio can use your help. If you have announcements or news about what's going on in your bioregion, send it by email to cruzief@cruzio.com. That's C-R-U-Z-E-F at C-R-U-Z-I-O. com, or send your letters to Earth First Radio at P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And be sure to send those announcements in at least 3 weeks in advance. From South Dakota, or excuse me, from North Dakota, comes the first state in the union to legalize industrial hemp. On Saturday, April 17th, North Dakota's Governor Schaefer signed HB 1428, legalizing industrial hemp production by decree. Any person in this state may plant, grow, harvest, possess, process, sell, or buy industrial hemp. On April 12th, North Dakota's Senate passed the industrial hemp bill by a landslide vote of 44-3, and the week before, the House passed the bill by 86-7. The Commissioner of Agriculture will now be developing regulations needed to implement the law, which allows North Dakota farmers to legally grow industrial hemp. The Drug Enforcement Agency, the DEA, must now address the system of regulating industrial hemp in the United States. If you'd like the full text of the law, you send your web browser to ranch.state.nd.us/lr/text/bill/index/bi1428.html. That web page again, and I'm sure you can find it if you go to ranch.state.nd.us/lr/text/bill/index/bi1428.html. Or if you'd like further information, you can contact Governor Ed Schaefer at 701-328-2200. That's Governor Ed Schaefer, 701-328-2200. And you might ask, what does this mean? I'll tell you what this means. Hemp makes great paper, folks. Earth First Santa Cruz has used hemp paper before. It's wonderful stuff. And if they grew a lot of it, they could make a lot of paper, and that would reduce the pressure on our forests. From Oregon, about 50 people gathered at the South Umpqua Bank in downtown Eugene on April 19th to send a message to Bank President Alan Ford that clear-cutting Oregon's ancient forests is going to be bad for business. Protesters carried signs depicting an altered South Stumpqua logo, a tree logged and lying on the ground. Alan Ford is the sole owner of Roseburg Forest Products, which owns the rights to log the Heldon timber sale, the North Winberry timber sale, and other replacement volume timber sales along the Willamette National Forest. South Umpqua Bank is supported by investments from people like Ford, who make their money from taxpayer-subsidized public lands logging and has been targeted for a boycott as a way to convince Ford to abandon his contracts on these old-growth timber sales. And here's a selected news article from the local newspaper. Environmentalists protested a series of planned timber trades between the U.S. Forest Service and Roseburg Forest Products Monday, but the protest didn't take place in the woods. Instead, it was in front of a Eugene branch of the South Umpqua Bank. The conservationists, led by the Many Rivers Group, a Eugene-based chapter of Sierra Club, called for a boycott of South Umpqua Bank because Alan Ford, president of the Roseburg Forest Products, is also chairman of the bank's board. Protest was planned for 11:30 at the South Umpqua branch at the corner of 11th Avenue and Oak Street. The protest stemmed from a proposed trade for timber sales originally canceled by a federal court ruling that protected nesting habitat for the endangered marble murrelet, a shorebird that nests in the crowns of old-growth trees. The sales in the Suislaw and Siskiyou National Forests are being replaced with federal timberland in the Willamette, Umpqua, and Siskiyou forests. Ray Davis, president and chief executive officer of the South Umpqua Bank based in Roseburg, said the protest was misguided. "I think most people will say, what does a bank have to do with it?" he said. "We're not angry, just confused. We really don't understand the rationale for protesting the bank." Davis said the bank and the Roseburg Forest Products are two independent operations that do not influence each other. Shannon Wilson of the Sierra Club said the replacement sales are a taxpayer boondoggle. "This is a giveaway of public assets that shouldn't happen," he said. "It is a huge windfall for Alan Ford and Roseburg Forest Products." The article goes on, but I'm going to end there because there's more stuff going on in the Umpqua watersheds. The Forest Service held an open house yesterday at the Douglas County Library in Roseburg, Oregon, to hear opinions about the massive timber sale planned for Lamolo Lake in the Diamond Lake area, which was very close to last year's Round River Rendezvous. The Lamolo Watershed Timber Sale proposes to log 31 million board feet of around 6,200 log truck loads of ancient forest, including extensive clear cutting. They're going to log inside the natural boundaries of the Oregon Central Resource Agency, right up to the Lamolo Lake Resort and right next to the North Umpqua Hiking Trail. The Umpqua National Forest wants to hear from you. If possible, please drop in. Well, I guess you can't go to the meeting because it was yesterday, and you're... Tell the Forest Service you can probably get in touch with them in other ways, but tell the Forest Service they should stop making the Diamond Lake Ranger District the sacrificial logging ground of the Umpqua Forest. Since its inception in the Northwest Forest Plan, Diamond Lake is the heaviest logged area in the entire Umpqua National Forest, far more than any other area. Why? Because there's still some trees left, and the Forest Service feels they have to meet their annual target volume, regardless of the environmental or recreational damage. This fragile high-elevation ecosystem is home to rare animals such as the wolverine and the lynx that can live nowhere else. The volcanic pumice soils are easily compacted, and forest recovery is more difficult than in other areas of the Umpqua National Forest. In addition, Diamond Lake is where the majority of recreation by humans happens on the forest. Here it is. The Oregon Cascade Recreation Area was designated a special area under the 1984 Wilderness Bill, along with the adjacent Mount Tielson Wilderness. The Oregon Cascade Recreation Area is wild and roadless area set aside for your recreational fun, and the Windigo Pass Road cuts through the middle of it, providing access for recreation. But it ain't fun to recreate in a clear cut, folks. Take it from Uncle Dennis. It's much more fun to hike in a forest. And down in Arizona, the Southwest Center, the Sierra Club, Earth First, Arizona League of Conservation Voters, and the Arizona Green Party and the Arizona Safe Energy Commission boycotted Tucson's Earth Day celebration after being told by the participants that they were not permitted to criticize the event's sponsors, which just happened to include Raytheon Missile Systems, Waste Management Incorporated, and HPB Copper. For a $2,000 donation, the corporate polluters were not only able to buy a good greenwashing, they were able to ban public criticism. The Earth Day organizers attempted to defend the assault on free speech by saying that Earth Day is not supposed to be a political forum. Shane Jimmerfield of the Southwest Center responded in the Arizona Daily Star, saying Raytheon is part of the war machine, and we know what the war machine is doing to the planet. The military is one of the largest global polluters. Earth First later decided to participate,
by crashing the downtown parade with a banner proclaiming, Raytheon presents Kill the Earth Day. Let's hear it for Earth First Tucson, okay? And in an urgent alert for folks in California, the forestry reform package has had some trouble in the state legislature. There were a few bills scheduled for hearing last week in the Natural Resources Committee on the Assembly of the Assembly and Senate, but only one passed out of committee. The timber lobby made numerous inaccurate and substantiated claims about managing the influence and managed to influence legislators lacking a baseline knowledge about forestry issues. There are more votes coming up, and if you want to influence forestry in California, here's something about some of the bills. AB 717, presented by our own Fred Keeley, would require better information in timber harvest plans and would make the California Department of Forestry more accountable to other agencies involved in the process, providing much stronger penalties for violations of the CDF rules. The penalties for illegal cutting approximate those in the state contract for the Headwaters deal, about two times the value of the timber. And that's AB 717. In another bill, AB 748, also put forward by Fred Keeley, would finally end a long-standing timber subsidy by requiring the industry to pay for costs incurred by the agency while reviewing timber harvest plans. And in late news, I believe both of those bills passed out of committee. And there are some Senate bills. The Senate Bill 621 passed. While Senate Bill 620 was postponed, Senate Bill 621 by Byron Scheer would ban clear-cutting on steep slopes over a 65% gradient, and that's pretty steep, folks. That's quite steep, about 40 degrees or so. Two senators would be key if this bill is to pass. If you live in Senator D.D. Alpert's district of San Diego, El Cajon area, or Senator Patrick Johnson's area of San Joaquin County, give your California state senators a call and ask them to support Senate Bill 620 and to prevent clear-cutting on steep slopes in California. From around the United States, the Coal River in West Virginia made the list of the nation's top endangered rivers due to damage from mountaintop removal. The river ranked 9th out of 10 on American Rivers' list of America's most endangered rivers of 1999. The level of environmental degradation in West Virginia from mountaintop removal coal mining is appalling, according to Rebecca Water, president of American Rivers. Mountaintop removal mining blasts off the tops of mountains to uncover low-sulfur coal reserves and then dumps the leftover rock and earth into nearby valleys, covering up streams. Permits for more than 6,600 acres of mountaintop removal along the Coal River and its tributaries are pending before the State Office of Mining Reclamation in West Virginia. Life in Appalachia has always been centered around our rivers, said Janet Fout, project coordinator for the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition. Now, human communities that have lived for generations around the Coal River watershed are also being endangered. And in apparent retribution for the federal government's withdrawal of oil and gas leasing on federal lands on parts of the Rocky Mountain front, the Montana Department of Natural Resources is proposing to lease portions of the Sun River Wildlife Management Area to oil and gas development. The area, home to wintering wildlife, is so sensitive that it is not open to the general public for 6 months of the year. Conservation groups are calling for the state to withdraw the lands from the proposed development, according to the release. Like the National Forest lands, the wildlife management areas, and certain other state lands along the fabulous Rocky Mountain front have inherent values far above and beyond the industry's speculative gambling. The state is accepting comments until April 23rd. For more information, contact Friends of the Rocky Mountain Front at phone number 406-466-2750. That's the Rocky Mountain Front, Friends of the Rocky Mountain Front at 406-466-2750. Or friends at threerivers.net. And for Wisconsin, we hear that the Wisconsin Conservation Congress voted to introduce a hunting season for sandhill cranes, an idea that has been harshly criticized. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the sandhill crane's revival in the state is a natural success story of the Endangered Species Act. Once on the endangered species list, this magnificent bird, immortalized by Wisconsin naturalist Aldo Leopold, has gone from perhaps 25 breeding pairs in the state a half century ago to a seasonal population of 12 to 13,000 cranes. Karen Hale of the Madison Audubon Society said, "This is not an animal lover versus farmer issue. This is a conservation issue. The Conservation Congress is a citizens group of hunters, anglers, and outdoor enthusiasts who advises the Department of Natural Resources." And in legislative updates from around the state, we hear that there's a Senate bill in Oregon. Senate Bill 1151 requires the Forestry Department of Oregon to review rules to determine what amendments are needed to, quote, encourage woodland restoration. And from Alaska, we hear that Senate Bill 74, which gives the state blanket authority to implement unrestricted airborne wolf control, passed the Senate and the House Committee on Resources. Let's move over to some national news now. April 29th marks the National Day of Action to send a message to Forest Service Chief Michael Dombeck that not enough is being done to protect our last remaining wildlands. Your help is needed to make this day and have an impact nationwide. Activities that are being scheduled include field events in 18 states to announce the release of a new roadless report by the Heritage Forest Campaign documenting loopholes and exemptions that exist in the current temporary road building moratorium. Other field events will announce the circulation of a congressional sign-on letter to the president supporting full protection of our heritage forests. And meetings are going to be scheduled at local district offices to encourage members of Congress to sign the letter. Field events and local activities to generate postcards and letters to Chief Dombeck will also be carried out. Our goal is 100,000 comments encouraging Dombeck to pursue a policy that protects roadless areas and national forests rather than the current transportation policy governing road construction. The comment period on the roadless areas and national forests continues until May 31st. You can send a comment by sending your web browser to www.ourforests.org. Once again, that webpage is www.ourforests, all one word, .org. Other field events will protest destructive logging projects that threaten our nation's remaining wildlands. If you are going to be doing something, or you need videos, other assistance, brochures, briefing kits, postcards, press releases, or anything else, contact Liz Butler of American Lands. Her phone number, 202-547-9098. That's 202-547-9098. Or you can send email to lizb@americanlands.org. That's lizb, L-I-Z-B, at americanlands, all one word, .org. The John Muir Project of the Sierra Club Tuesday released its most comprehensive report to date on federal logging programs, revealing that it now costs the taxpayers $1.2 billion annually. The John Muir Project report, Ending Timber Sales on National Forests, The Facts, in the spring of 1998, was reviewed by the United States Congressional Research Service, the nonpartisan federal agency which serves as the research branch of Congress. The agency confirmed JMP's findings, stating $1.2 billion is a reasonable estimate of the net cash loss from the Forest Service's 1997 timber program to taxpayers. This report was timed to coincide with the reintroduction of the National Forest Protection and Restoration Act in Congress, a bill that would end logging on public lands. Quote, "The American people are getting tired of having their tax dollars pay for destruction of public lands," said Chad Hansen, author of the report. Recent polls show 69% of Americans oppose continued logging on national forests. The JMP's report found that, contrary to timber industry claims, logs from national forests are not needed for the American timber supply. Logging national forests makes up 3.3% of the country's total annual wood consumption. If we ended the timber sales program on our national forests and redirected the enormous logging subsidies, we'd have over $30,000 for each public land's timber worker for retraining or ecological restoration work, and we'd still have over $500 million left over to pay taxpayer savings annually, said Hansen. The John Muir Project is a Pasadena, California-based nonprofit group working to place all federal public forested lands beyond the reach of commercial exploitation as John Muir envisioned over a century ago. By the way, the National Forest Protection and Restoration Act has been assigned Bill Number H.R. 1396 this year. That's the NRPA, NRPRA, National Forest Protection and Restoration Act, H.R. 1396. Contact your congressperson and have them support it. If you want to contact the John Muir Project, their webpage is at www.johnmuirproject.org. That's johnmuirproject.org. Do it today. If you'd like a copy of the report, the Ending Timber Sales on National Forests, the facts, send email to Amy at johnmuirproject.org. She'd be glad to email you a copy. That's Amy at johnmuirproject.org. And tell her Uncle Dennis sent you. All right. A coalition of electric utility companies calling themselves the Greening Earth Society took advantage of Earth Day today to advertise the benefits of today's higher CO2 levels. A full-page advertisement in the Washington Post argues that doomsayers won't listen to the good news about CO2, which the ad says includes more abundant plant life and greater agricultural yields. The group distributed a 30-minute video entitled The Greening of Planet Earth to all members of Congress today and promises an annual State of the Climate report. Society says they are a membership organization created to provide materials to educators, grassroots activists, and policymakers, among others, about the often overlooked beneficial effects of the Earth's rising atmospheric level of CO2. Oh, boy. I tell you, it just ain't true, folks. And that's about all we have time for today. To get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzef at cruzio.com. That's C-R-U-Z-E-F at C-R-U-Z-I-O.com. Or you can send regular mail to Earth First Radio. We're at P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Please send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. If you'd like more in-depth news or information about the Earth First movement, subscribe to the Earth First Journal. They're at P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. You, of course, can hear Earth First Radio live in the Santa Cruz area on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, every Thursday at 8 p.m., or you can listen to Earth First Radio on your computer on the World Wide Web at radioforall.web.net. That's radioforall.web.net. The 4 is the number 4. You'll need a sound card, but the software you need is free on the site. Earth First Radio is being rebroadcast by a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Ask your local station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced by Earth First Santa Cruz and is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening. Tune into the next Earth First Radio show for more no-compromise news, views, poetry, and, of course, music. And coming right up is Casey Neal. And this song is called Riff Raff.
Travelers and rambles from camp to camp. poison the ocean. Bulldozers ravage the land. We've taken from sweet Mother Nature just about all she can stand. She just keeps holding our hand. There's a big tractor loose in the forest, ripping the trees from the earth. Those redwoods are falling to progress, but a few roots still grip the earth. How much is that timber worth?